So Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for its effective work in us and how, Lord, you have given each and every part, God, so that we can truly know who you are. We can identify those areas in us, God, that need to be worked on and improved upon, Father, and that we would receive your word today, that it would find that fertile soil in our heart, God, that it would grow and produce the fruit that you desire. We are your magnificent creation, God, molded and shaped in your image to do your good works. And so we pray that your word would have its effective work in us, that it does not return void, but it accomplishes that what it is set out to do, and that that would be done today. I thank you for it. And I thank you for your people and their willingness to hear what it is you have to say this morning in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So this is a one and done, just in case you were wondering. But the title of today's message is, what do you own? What do you own? O-W-N. What do you own? Okay. One of the things that we come into just life in general is this concept of ownership, and we'll own things like vehicles and houses and stuff. And possession or ownership of things is just part of how we have to operate. And so we will use or utilize certain things when we identify how we own something, right? What's a key word that you use to say it's yours? Mine. I'm reminded of the seagulls. Yes. Yes. Finding Nemo, if you don't remember. Mine. We can sit and just with just that one word, mine. When we see things like this or when we encounter these things, that is a claiming of ownership to thing, right? To said thing. And so when we run into these types of situations, we find ourselves in a predicament because we are always set in a place in this world where there are physical things, there are realities, there are things that we encounter, and part of our just human nature, okay, our flesh, the thing that we have, that we're burdened with, we have this compulsion to own. And now, some people, and I'm not saying anybody here, but some people make their entire identity around what they own. They take pride in their possessions. They take pride in their hard work and the fruits of their labor. And I'm not saying that we don't get to enjoy the fruits of our labor, or that we don't get to have things, because that's, again, going to trigger somebody else in this house. But this is just the sheer concept of ownership. That's how it works. Okay? When we take ownership of something, we take possession of it. It now belongs to you. But today, what God has prepared for us is something to think about when it comes to this understanding, because when we are partnered in this world as a creature being in the world, and the ownership principles that we carry because our nature decided that we have worked hard, therefore we must possess something in lieu of that hard work, that we have a built-in framework that is counterintuitive to the will of God and the kingdom principles that he has established for his people, that when we come under the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the human nature, that part of us that's supposed to die, didn't fully die, and we go along in our walk, in our faith, in belief in God, laying claim and owning things that you're not meant to own. All because sometimes bad habits die hard. Unlike that weird movie that I watched, Bad Hobbits Die Hard. It was a very weird mix of Lord of the Rings and Die Hard. It's really odd. It's trippy. Although he did fit much easier in the air duct work, you know. Yeah, it was easier for him to get around. He was just like, you know, this is easy. No, ignore me. I'm just being silly and stupid as usual. As they mostly are in normal fashion. You're welcome. And I will continue to do them in said fashion. Yes, and also sleep deprivation. That's true too. So what I want you guys to do is, as we journey through the scriptures today, I want you to take a listen to what God's saying, and I'll try my best, again, noteless, but I will try my best to try and explain what God was saying to me when he brought all this together so that we don't turn it into a runaway train and we start interpreting things in a bad way. But if you would turn to Proverbs 18:21, every single time we're coming to a verse here today, short, sweet, but to the point. Amen. We're not going through a big dip rendition, but we're just going right in and we're going to hit it hard. So Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. This is a really simple verse, and many people know this proverb, but you probably don't quote it exactly as you have here, okay? And that's okay. But what's the concept of the scripture? What are we trying to address here in the verse? We understand that there is power in the tongue, and the power in that tongue is over what? Life and death, right? And now, so that means, in certain other verses, you will find that the tongue is a double-edged sword, right? Why that double-edged sword is speaking of the concept that it can bring life or it can bring death. But regardless of what you do with it, whatever you do use it for, you will eat that fruit. What that means is that the power of life or the power of death that you speak out through your tongue, the fruit will be produced and it will be yours to consume. Now, we pair this up with another verse, which is in James. I gotta flip all the way over here to the other side. But James 3, and just a couple of verses here in James 3, 6 through 10. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Now you can see why these two verses kind of come together, right? We see the correlation where we're talking about how what we say, how we say what we say, and the propensity of our tongue to do what? What is our tongue more likely going to lean on? It's going to lean on to the side of evil, not the side of good. Now, one could argue when you're going from Proverbs and you're then going onto the other side in James that you're now seeing a fulfillment of a prophetic word. Right? An Old Testament prophecy coming to a New Testament fulfillment. James is identifying what that New Testament fulfillment is, and the course of that nature of the life and death that's in the tongue has lended itself more to the death in the tongue, not the life that's in the tongue. But James identifies also what? That should not be, right? Now that sets us up for a really big understanding. James is addressing who? He's not addressing the unsaved and the unchurched. He's addressing the churched and the saved. He's addressing the body of Christ. So we understand then, identifying that verse and taking it into our own part, that the correct understanding for us as believers is that it should not be so means that we should not be in the business of cursings and things like that. You might be like, well, wait a minute. What does this have to do with ownership, Pastor? What does it have to do? Thank you for asking. Guy I never met in my entire life. Even the new guy gets it, right? What does this have to do with ownership? Here's what it has to do. When we say things And I'm going to go into my own struggle right now. My allergies are bothering me. What did I do? Two things have just occurred. Simultaneously, by just saying those two things, my allergies, and sometimes we add that wonderful additional part of are killing me. Do you mind if I do it? Bring it up. My migraine is killing me. I appreciate Becky because this was not prepared, but this was also what apparently the Lord was leaning on. So you got the pre-message. All right. But if we say those simple words and there's power of life and death in the tongue, is a migraine something that God wants Becky suffering under? Is allergy something God wants me suffering under? Is there a pure and holy anointing that God has put over every person who comes under the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that you now have the power and authority to say to sickness, be gone, and it is removed from you in Jesus' name? Right? If we know that we have the ability to live out in faith in Christ in a belief that God has cleansed me from all unrighteousness, behold, all things are made new. I am a new creation. I no longer have to live with allergies, migraines. Give me something. Arthritis. Give me something. Back pain. Cancer. Nerve damage. Anxiety. Fear, right? But when we say, my, you have done something horrifically bad. Because you have claimed it, you have removed the ability for God to take it away from you. Why? Because God will not violate your free will. Even though it breaks his heart, even though he knows that even in our ignorance and our worldliness that we live in, we claim ownership over so many things that God wants to free us from and deliver us from because of his precious son who is with us. And yet we burden ourselves with struggle and hardship and heart pains and whatever sneezing issue that you have if you're like me, when I could walk in victory and freedom if I did not use my tongue to lay claim to something that God says, that's not my best for you. I have something better for you. We had a long time, a message that Gary preached. And how many people remember the message where God gives you a gift? And what's your job? What are you supposed to do with the thing that God gives you? You receive it, but then you have to release it, give it away, so that you can receive more, right? Okay? This concept is found in scripture. You are an earthen vessel. You are being filled. But your objective is not to just sit and just hold stagnant water. You're meant to be what? Poured out. So that you can be filled with new, fresh things. If we're laying claim to something, guess what there's no room for? The new thing that God wants you to have. And here's the catch, church. This is why this is so important, why it's tied to that blessing and cursing and that part in James where we are seeing that it's poison, it's all these things. Why? Well, because we've spoken so much of it and claimed so much of it, our vessel is so full of the things that he does not want for you that aren't your best, and he can't put more in. Now, I also gave you guys a message. How many people remember the ping pong ball message? He will not give you something good if there's still poison in the vessel. Why? Because the moment he puts something good in it, what does it become? Poison, because it's contaminated. Thank God we're leaky vessels, because eventually it'll just seep out anyway. This is what is so important about this ownership and why it matters so much. if we're holding on and we're laying claim and we go back and we say, you know, Lord, I'm so done. I don't want to deal with migraines anymore. And I just am surrendering it to you. And I believe you are going to fully just remove it. You have to start with actually removing your ownership over it. Think about addiction. The whole concept of why people who have addictions continually go back to it is because they have a possessive nature to it. But you get set free from addiction when you release your possessive nature over it. It does not have a grip on you. You have a grip on it. And that's what we are, this is what me and the Lord have been sitting with in these verses and going, He wants His people completely free. But if we continue to put ourselves back in the cage, it's not because He hasn't set you free. It's because you just keep going back in. The door's even unlocked. It's not like you're just going back in the cage for no reason. Except the reason is that you've claimed it and you've owned it and you've said it's yours. And so therefore it is. Because that same power and authority that's in your tongue to speak life, to speak good things over you, to speak healing, to speak all of this stuff is the same tongue that locked you in the cage in the beginning. And it's the same tongue that's keeping you in there today. So you gotta learn how to flip the script. Amen? So let's go there. Matthew 21. And just two verses here, and you guys know all this already, so it's just kind of rehashing it out. But so Jesus answered to them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Church, I want to say that again. So you hear it and you hear it clearly. This is the word of God. This is not me interpreting. Words mean something. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. How are you to pray? In believing. But do you pray? This is why faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When you pray, don't pray in secret and in quiet. Pray in secret, but pray it loud. Let your faith be built up by the words that you're speaking so that the words you are speaking, the life that is in them and the power that's behind those words can bring forth. And you'll be like, oh, wait, hold on. Pastor's turning into Joel Osteen. No, I'm not, because I am telling you the correct way to do it. You can't just name it and claim it. You can't just name it and claim it. I told you. What do you have to do first? Before that, you have to release all of the ownership of things that you have attached to and are bringing in that will contaminate it. Because the Lord is not going to give you the good treasures that He has stored up for you and let them be wilted and torn away because you want to hold on to garbage while also receiving the good things that God has. That's not how He works. So suck it, Joel. Not you, Joel. Teach your people properly. Teach your people properly. Teach your people properly. You actually do have the power to speak those things into being because God and the power of Him in you that dwells has given you that same authority. But you can't use it to get a Camaro. You can't use it to get whatever things you desire and want. What do you mean, Pastor? Isn't that what you just said? Oh, but wait, there's more. Matthew 6:33. I'm not even going to turn to it because we already know it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Seek what first? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. So where are you even qualified into the equation here? Your only job is to do what? Seek. And do it what? First. Again, suck it, Joel. Again, not you, Joel. Teach your people properly. It's a concept that if you don't give the full context of the message, you send people into a place of believing that they can speak those things as though they are and have them, and you set this name it and claim it health, wealth, prosperity message out to a group of people that will say a bunch of things, but they're only doing it so that they can possess more things. And what is that back to? The same problem. You haven't even released things. So really what you are praying to, and please, I hope this doesn't really freak people out, but how many people understand that there are actually false prophets, false teachers, and demons that profess to believe that they are and say they are Jesus the Lord? And they will profess themselves to be, to get you to go ahead and pray to them so that you can have more junk to fill yourself up so that you will never do the will of God. And you're laying claim and owning things, believing that that is going to help you achieve some greater purpose in God, and it's just keeping you like a rock at the bottom of a sea. You're not moving. You're not growing. You're not doing anything for the purpose and will of God. You're just existing with stuff. And it might not even be bad stuff. Shoot, sometimes it's really good stuff. I know people who have been blessed immensely with wealth and prosperity. And guess what? They're going to die with all that wealth and prosperity. And guess how many people have effectively received the gospel because of that person's wealth and prosperity? Nothing. So what good was it? But this is where we go. And here's the other part. The last part. These other two verses. Go ahead. Pull up the next one, Steve, if you can. 2 Corinthians 10:5-5. Casting down arguments. It's not 5:5. Like, what's that? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. Why is that so important? I know my sister loves this one. Because where do you think the enemy is going to infiltrate you to fill you up, to make you believe that what you are praying to, what you are believing in, what you are professing that you can speak life into is actually not of God, but it is of something foreign? It's going to come in through a thought. And that thought, if not captive and entertained and submitted to the will of Christ, you will lay claim to that thought. And you will start to worship that thought. Wow. So simple. So easy. Yet so effective. So still working. And doing what he has done from the very beginning. Let's think about it, church. What did he do? He told Eve what? Did God really say? However, fruit, still not just good for nutrition, but also good for wisdom and knowledge. Did he lie? Nope. Not really. All he did, he didn't even lie. He just asked a question. And he planted doubt. Now go back. What did that verse say? If you believe and do not have doubt, you could speak to that mountain and it will be removed in the sea. So what is going to stop the execution of the faith, your mind receiving that, being submitted to the will of God, and then your tongue confessing what you believe? The only thing that's going to intercept that is what? Doubt. That's why you got to take every thought captive. Because doubt will immediately steal the good things that God has given you. And instead, implant something that just sounds more plausible and believable. And then you possess that. And you take ownership of it. And it's not even of God. And now you got junk in your cistern. And you'll speak about it. In the last verse, to just summarize this all up. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Why is this important? Because here's where this comes in line, church. Is that something that is suggested? Or is that a command from God Almighty? That's a command. You might be like, well, that's the old, we got new law. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, but Jesus said, but in doing those, you fulfill all of the laws. Even this one. So in order to truly show the love of God, we actually are obligated to follow this one. Putting away a deceitful mouth and a perverse lip. Well, what's a deceitful mouth? It's lying, right? Now, I know everybody here doesn't mean to lie or tries very hard not to lie. You know, I know we don't do the best sometimes. And we have to, you know, repent for those times where we do fall short and we do. But I'm here to tell you, that's actually not what this is talking about. The same deception that the enemy came in the garden with is the same deception here. I want to just really, really quickly give you a point of reference that you can understand. God wants to do something miraculous in every single person's life here. Okay? Whether it's for your own well-being or whether it's the well-being of another. And me and Irene were having a conversation. And just in case you're wondering, believe it or not, your well-being will precede another's first. It may be like, but I thought that I'm supposed to go and help all these other people. That's true. But you are absolutely of no value if you have not helped yourself first. Even the airplane teaches us this very biblical lesson. If the plane is going into the ocean, or the plane is going to make a water landing, plane crashing into the Atlantic, I will pull it when it's necessary. However, if that's the case, these things are going to fall from the ceiling. You put yours on first. Yes, because if you can't breathe and you pass out, you can't help anybody else. Kind of makes sense. Really logical. I like logic. Let's use the same logic in the Bible. Can we? We can. I am telling you that God wants to do certain things in your life. Let him do them in your life so that you, in the freedom that God has given you, can now set someone else free. But you actually have to allow that work to take its full effect, and it won't if you keep owning things that tear it away. So that looks like that deception, it actually looks like something completely different. It's not lying. It's the doubt that comes in that says things like, but shouldn't you be doing this instead? Isn't this more important? Shouldn't you be taking care of that? I thought you were doing this. I thought you were doing that. And the moment we entertain it and we speak it, you literally have done exactly what the serpent did in the garden. You spoke doubt over the message that was just put over you that said to do this instead. How many people have heard the Lord speak to them and tell them that he wants to do something in their life? He wants to release this, heal this, fix this, do this. How many people are walking in that? Good. No, I mean, seriously. If you're not, I'm not here to, it's not a judgment. It's not a thing, but think about it now and think about what is being said here in the word. And now look back at that and go, did I question whether or not that was God? Did I question whether or not I deserved it? Did I question whether or not I was worthy? Did I question? Did I question? Did I question? If you're questioning it, what are you not doing? You're not actually, and this is going to be the one thing that I know is going to really rock everybody, but I have to say it. So preamble. I'm sorry. I really am. I really am. But I have to. And you'll understand. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. And because you questioned, you put yourself into a place where that disobedience nullifies and disqualifies you until you what? Until you repent. But so many people don't go to that point because they think that they can speak it back into existence. If I just believe, if I just go, you know, I was doubtful, but I believe now. That's great. I'm glad you believe, and I'm glad you can speak life in it. Those are the great, wonderful things, but you're not able to get there because you're disconnected from the source. So how can you even believe in what you were hearing that God wants to do when you're not connected to him currently because you're in a disobedient state? So easily, yeah. Is it fixable? Sure. How easy it is there to repent? So simple. Just say, I repent. I'm so sorry I did this. I was not listening and I should have. Father, forgive me. And I pray that you would just cleanse me of all that unrighteousness and cover me in your son's precious blood and wash me clean. Whatever you got to say, however you want to word those other parts of it, fine. All right. I'm not telling you this is formulaic. But you do that so that you get back into the place where you can then say, I am not laying claim to that anymore. I'm letting go of that because I want this. I want to receive these good things that you have in store for me, Lord, and I believe them and I will speak them into my life so that I can go and I can speak them into another's. I am so overjoyed that I get to walk out in divine health. Why? Because God is good, but I would love to be able to speak that into everybody else's life. But I can't go around and just say, I believe God's going to give you divine health and you're going to be set free from whatever illness, whatever pain, whatever migraine you have. I pray for you constantly about that. And how many times have I been praying that Becky would no longer suffer in her migraines, but Becky goes, my migraine. Do you see how that just worked? Like, look at that just on that stretch of land by itself. Remove every other thing. I'm praying for freedom so she's not in pain because I know it hurts and kills her tremendously. And I'm praying God's hand go upon her and relieve her and release her. And she goes, mine. I really want to. I really, really want to. No, don't say our, because I'm not partnering with you in that. We got to really examine, church, these really simple words, because they're way more powerful than you've ever given them credit for. So much more powerful, so much more destructive. And all because we have a propensity in our human nature to just want to own something. And the enemy's taken full advantage of it. So I want to encourage you today. If you have done that, and you have spoken ownership over those things in your life, and you're trying to get free of them, I want to encourage you. Spend some time at the Lord's feet. Release it in Jesus' name. Release it. Let go of it, release it in Jesus' name. And it's that simple. You know, it's not, I don't want you to make it like, you know, a big deal. You don't have to come up here and do, if you want to do it, if you got a lot of dumping, okay, fine. Then come up here and just lay it all at the altar. That's fine. But if it's something simple and you just want to release it, put your hands up. I don't know if you know this. How do you release? How do you let go? If you're holding on to a monkey bar, how do you let go? You put your hands up and let go. Let go. Just release it. And just tell the Lord, I'm releasing this to you. I no longer want ownership of it. Please take it far from me in Jesus' name. It's that simple. It's not complex. Doesn't need a lot of words. Not a lot of fluff. And then just ask the Lord what you can start speaking into your life. ask the Lord to reveal what it is that you can start saying and praying out loud over yourself so that you can receive that what he has prepared for you. And then walk in it. Amen? How many people are really looking forward to being set free from something in Jesus' name? How many people? Put your hands up and release it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for the provision in your word that we are given the formula, Lord. We are given the method and the way that you have outlined, that it isn't about us. And here's the best part about it all, Lord. And forgive me for not even saying this earlier, but the fact that we are stewards means we own nothing anyway. So every time we try to lay claim to own something, we're abandoning our position as a steward, as an ambassador, to go mend and take care of our own things. That's why, Lord, when you even said, then you called them to him and they said, I have to go take care of, he said, let the dead bury the dead. We serve you. We are stewards of your kingdom, Lord. And what we possess and own is yours. That's it. Anything else, it doesn't belong. So as your people release these things to you today, I thank you, God, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and that we can cast our cares upon you, and that we can bring these things to you and you take them away with no guilt, no shame, but your compassion, your grace and your mercy overwhelm us. Your love and your kindness brings a smile to our face, God. And we're reminded of truly how wonderful the gift that you have given to each and every one of us really is. As we repent and as we release, God, I pray that people would hear what it is. Your people would hear those things that they need to hear and start speaking them and praying them into their life, and that they would become reality as that fruit would grow and manifest, God, that, Lord, they would see it and rejoice knowing that you, Lord, are good, and that you, Lord, have provided, and that you, Lord, have done great things, and that that would turn into their worship. That would turn into their heart's cry. May we hold on to those truths, God. And may we live those lives. In Jesus' name, amen.